welcome to episode number 16 of the Marketing Development Podcast. I am your host, Pete Everett, and today I'm talking to a fellow Northerner, Laura Pearman, headshots photographer extraordinaire, and maybe quite not to the stars, but certainly to some key entrepreneurs in our field. We discuss why headshots are important for your business and also just about the entrepreneurial journey of being in business together. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/016. And please come and join us in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. We'd love to see you there. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today I am talking to a fellow Northeast Englander, Laura Pearman. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And hello to all of your listeners.
That's very kind of you. It's our pleasure to have you. I should have asked before we hit recording, is it Pearman or Pearman?
Pearman.
Pearman. It's yeah, Laura Pearman on the show. Sorry, just keep on going. Nobody will notice.
Nobody will notice. We'll just power through.
Laura is a photographer from Newcastle upon Tyne. And for those of you that are from the Northeast and in the know, you will notice that I said Newcastle rather than Newcastle, which is how we say it, isn't it?
That's correct, yes. I've noticed some news readers say it the right way now. I don't know if they've had like a little bit of a debriefing meeting down there at the Beeb, but now they're starting to say it correctly.
It's the takeover. It's happening.
Yeah.
It always was going to happen, slowly but surely.
Exactly.
I can't claim that I'm a Geordie. I'm originally from Darlington in County Durham.
Okay, well that's near enough.
It is, isn't it? It's you know, there's Durham in the middle, but we can ignore that and then just and then we're there. So
it's still the friendliest place, though. All of the Northeast region, I think, we're the friendliest in the country here. Would you agree?
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. I now live in Sheffield, and as much as these people class themselves as Northerners, I keep on telling them they're all Southerners to me.
Yes, they are.
This can't be the North.
Yeah, anyway. No, there's way more up there.
So Laura is a photographer, and rather than me murder the rest of your introduction, other than you being from Newcastle, how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure, I'll go ahead. So hello, I'm Laura Pearman, and I am a headshots photographer. Although I am based up here in the Northeast, I work all over the place, so I'm always on the road, and I absolutely love that because I'm an old backpacker from years gone by, and it's a way for me to kind of fuel that. So I love going all over the country to do headshots, and also internationally as well. I have a bit of a background in marketing before I became a photographer, so I think that's why I've kind of gravitated towards the marketing, public relations, digital creatives kind of area when I do my headshots. I love working with people in all industries, don't get me wrong, but I seem to resonate best with people who are switched on to how to build an effective brand, and people who have a very clear idea of where they're going with their marketing. And that tends to be, let's face it, people who are in the industry.
Mm. You can tell that actually when you look through your portfolio that's on your website. I mean, I know obviously for a portfolio you'll pick the best shots, but there is that kind of creative element to it, even when you're not. You do have a section which is for performers, and of course you expect them to be kind of creatively made up and all that
there.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, those are the wild pictures, if anyone's interested in going and having a look at that gallery.
But they're also, you obviously do have a creative style when it comes to all of them as well, and not just sort of your bog standard here's a bloke stood in front of a grey screen or whatever.
Yeah, I hate that, man. I really do. So it's all about bringing out your true personality. That's what I think I'm here to do right now in this lifetime. So it doesn't matter how boring you think your business is, there's a way to make it interesting, and you have a personality and you have other factors in your life that you can start bringing into your brand values, especially when you're rocking a personal brand. That's for me what it's all about. And I continually say, you know, a picture says 1,000 words, so let's pick what those 1,000 words are. You know, as soon as you stand in a boring gray suit next to a gray background, you've just killed it.
Yeah. For starters, you'd just be a floating head.
Yeah, but exactly, yes. Like a weatherman.
Yeah, let's bring it back around to the Beeb. So I mean, you've picked up on a few things there, but, you know, in your opinion, why are photos so important?
Okay, so like I've said, they, you know, it's 1,000 words. So when you put that into a content mix, I suppose, it's a way of trying to visually show what it is you're trying to say. So I am naturally a visual person, and I would much rather look at a handy infographic or take in some photographs and then make up my own story from it. I'm not the kind of person who's going to sit and read really, really long blog posts, and I do like listening to podcasts, but there's a good chance I'll be doing something visual at the same time. So it's a way of rounding out your communications, I think, to the people who will naturally gravitate towards the visual as opposed to, you know, blocks and blocks of text. So that's an important factor. And then it's a way fundamentally to build trust. Like, if I'm going to drop a couple of grand on a coach online who's in another country, I want to look into their eyes. I want to know just by looking at them that my intuition and my gut says, yeah, they're all right, they're kosher, those guys, and you can send that money on PayPal. And I think anybody in the marketing world or who's running online business, that is crucial to your income, to make sure that you can build trust. And like I said, you can write and write all of the wonderful authenticity sentences, but if somebody can't see your eyes already, that makes it feel like it's a little bit shady. And I also say about headshots where people are trying to be overly arty and they're like, yeah, I'll put a black and white filter on that. And then the blacks and the black and white makes it look like half of your face is in a shadow. That is not going to build trust to me. I don't care if you're the Phantom of the Opera. I'm not buying that. if it looks actually shady, I will. There's a part of me that thinks, there's something a bit shady here. I think it's the way that our neurons fire. And then you think, hang on a minute, for some reason, I don't want to hit submit on that PayPal transfer. And I don't know why. It's because you think the person's shady and you haven't put 2 and 2 together. So the trust thing is hugely important, I think, in all photography.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And as I'm slowly trying to build a bit of a personal brand here, and it's a bit of a, I don't want to call it a sideline. That's not.
It's hard though when it's just you working on your own. I think the best thing to do is to think, right, okay, who were my best clients so far? Who did I totally, you know, instantly click with? I mean, let's face it, we can all straight away name the top three that we hate. People who've been a nightmare. We know that. But we know
this could turn into a very interesting podcast.
I'm not dishing anything, man. No, you're not going to get me to do that. And what I'm saying is, though, you can think of the ones that you hate. So then you've got to try and switch it around and think, right, who did I love? Who was it completely an easy job to work with? And you know that those are the people you want to attract more of. So yeah. I think with a personal brand, you can really set it out and say, right, well, I don't want any more of those people, and I definitely want these people. I would then say to those people, if you're struggling with what your narrative is, go and say, look, can I buy you a coffee, or can we jump onto a Skype call and I'll send you like a voucher for some donuts or something? And just really pick their brains and say, right, I'm not trying to do this to just blow smoke up my horse. I want to know, what is it about me that you liked? And then you're going to start getting some real, honest, hopefully objective things and subjects and, you know, vibes that you can kind of work on. And you think, right, I'll beef that up a bit more. And usually when you beef those things up, you start developing your personal brand values. But the more you turn the dial up on those, the more you will detract the horrible people, the people that were a nightmare, because you were never going to get on with them anyway. You know, like if you were in a party, you would never have ended up on the dance floor with those people, because you just, for whatever reason, you just don't sync.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And we had a discussion about that in the Marketing Development Podcast group on Facebook, which if you go to peteeverett.com/group, it will send you straight over. Shameless plug. But somebody raised a query in there about essentially getting on with people. And that was the advice that basically came through from the members of the group was, you know, you don't need to get on with everybody. In fact, being a Marmite kind of person is better for you as a business and as an entrepreneur, as a youpreneur, than than sort of trying to please everybody all of the time. And it's, you know, we run a marketing agency, so we're always dealing in things like marketing qualified leads. And actually, that's all you're really trying to do with your personal brand is kind of get rid of the chaff, the people that either aren't a good fit for your business because they don't do the right thing, or they're not a good fit for your business because they're not the right sort of person.
Yeah.
Before you even see an email notification about them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. And I mean, I had the generic branding when I first started as a portrait photographer, and it was, you know, Pearman Photography, and there was a lovely picture. I had a beautiful pear illustrated, and all of my products were related to pear. So it was still very much a formulated brand. But because I was under, I felt like I worked for Pearman Photography. It was like this weird power play, and I was watching my language and making sure that I was behaving like what I thought a photographer ought to behave like. I wasn't being the real me. And then eventually I got so sick of it that I changed it and just became just Laura Pearman. And it was a very subtle change in terms of, you know, text and branding, but I lost the pear and I just thought, right, no, damn it, this is who I am, and deal with it. And people, exactly like you say, they come to me and they're like, Laura, I get you. I love what you're saying. I love what you're about. And usually working with them is, you know, it's beautiful. And the people who would have been really, their noses would have been really put out of joint if I was the real me, well, then I don't need those people in my life, period.
No, that's true. And I think, you know, whenever we were recording these podcasts, I always feel that the title comes out during the recording.
Yeah.
Up until now, I've had Chris Ducker is kosher, but I think we've just trumped it with losing the pear.
Losing the pear, oh my Lord.
Oh dear. So no, that I completely agree with all of that, and that trust element is certainly something that's really important. In me getting this podcast live back in March, whenever I started, there was a friend of mine, Lee Jackson, was kind of instrumental in pushing me over the edge to get this going, and he was kind of telling me, look, there's some immovable things here, and one of those is your face needs to be on the front of this.
Yes.
And he actually, I mean, I've sort of, I need to confess, I've not got to the point where I've actually had a professional headshot done yet.
We'll get you sorted.
But Lee actually had a green screen set up in his studio one day, so he just took the shot of me that's on the group is actually one that Lee took, just, you know, here, stand there and look pretty. And and then we dropped a background in just to get me going. But that was, he was adamant, your face needs to be on the front of this. People are connecting with you. They need to trust you. They need to look into your eyes. All those things that you've just been saying.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And that's fine, as long as you're putting yourself out there. Like you're saying, you know, I have, we've just been building Selfie School here at HQ. And that is designed specifically for all of the many people who tell me, I'm just not ready for a headshot. So that's very true if you're just starting your business, or if you're doing a bit of a brand pivot and maybe you want to split test things, but you don't want to pay for two professional photo shoots to see which one flies. I thought, right, I need to help this whole mass of people who aren't quite ready for the headshot experience. So we've set up Selfie School, and that is specifically designed for, with like what you've just said there with your podcast, you know, do a great quality selfie. Let's face it, in your phone, you have an amazing camera. Let's learn how to use it. And more often than not, some people were like, Laura, are you mad doing this? Like, is this not just gonna completely fire a bullet into your foot? It's not gonna work. But it actually helps me to re-qualify, like we've just been saying there with the personal brand. You know, some people will never want to progress beyond a selfie, but then for some people who were always going to be a little bit on the fence, it really hammers it home. Oh, right. So that's the difference between a selfie and a professional headshot session. But when you get started, you've got to do that kind of bootstrapping stuff, I think.
Yeah. You know, there's a whole element of it about finding yourself as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've been running companies for a few years now, but none of them have ever had my name or my face on the front of it. And actually, you know, it's just like finding your style of clothes or finding the way that you want your hair, all that kind of stuff. You have your own style of sort of being you in business, and what people can expect from you and what you're going to give them, and it all sort of revolves around finding your own finding your own unique style. At the end of the day, you've got to be you, haven't you?
Yes, exactly. And when you are truly you, it makes it so much easier. You know, you're not having to think, right, well, what would I say in this interview, or what should I put in this press release, or how should we do the advertising copy for next season? Because it just comes out of you naturally.
So can you take me on a little journey then? So if I ring you up and say, hi, Laura, I'd love you to do some headshots. My last one is me in a grey suit in front of a grey screen. I look like a floating head. How does the process work? What are the things you want to know from me?
Sure. Okay. So I would want to know a little bit more about your branding. I absolutely love it when people have worked with a graphic designer and they have a brand guidelines document. Now, that's not essential, but it really does make my life a lot easier if I can see what your hex code colors are and if you have formulated an overall mission and if I can see where you're going. It's not crucial though. So if you don't have that information and you can't just send over the PDF, what I would say is, right, okay, talk to me about what you're doing with your business. And I'm happy to give a little bit of brand consultancy. I'm not a brand consultant. I'm sure there's brand consultants out there listening to this going, no, you're not, you're a headshot photographer. But if you haven't worked with a brand consultant and I can tell straight away off the bat you haven't got a clue, I will say, please let me refer you on to a brand consultant and then maybe a graphic designer, and then we can talk. You know, off you go to selfie school. That's me qualifying them. But if somebody has a real clear idea of where they're going, what they want their brand to say, who they're looking to attract, now you're talking. So I would want to understand from the get-go what kind of an investment we're looking at. Now, if we're doing, a lot of people now are doing headshots specifically related to a campaign. That's happening a lot more in the online business community. So people will say, right, I'm doing a launch for, I don't know, another season of my course, you know, or another cycle of my membership, and we're looking to recruit these types of people. And they'll do a headshot, a quick headshot specifically designed with that. Now, I love it when they're returning clients because I already know all of the background homework stuff. It might be on the other end of the spectrum that somebody wants to just announce themselves. So maybe they've completely changed from this faceless brand to a personal brand and they want the whole world to know, hello, this is me and this is what I stand for. Then we're going to be looking at a little bit of a longer shoot. So to give you some timings, my shortest service is a half hour turbo session, and my longest service right now is a whole day. Can you hear my cat in the background?
I can.
Yeah, that's Suki, if anybody wants to know. The longest service is the full shawami, and that's a whole day photo shoot session. And in that whole day, we'll be bringing in a stylist to help you select your outfits, or maybe they'll go and pull some outfits for you. We'll be looking at maybe some male grooming or some beauty-related suppliers. I've worked with special effects people, all kinds of different things. But when you have that kind of time to do a much more considered photo shoot, we can really start thinking of who else can we involve here to make this a real big bang. And then I have a couple of other services that are in the middle, so a little less time, but you can get some suppliers, a little bit longer time, and we just work, you and I, together. So that's kind of what's on offer. In addition to that menu, I suppose, I also go out and work at different events. So I go to different marketing and content related conferences all over the place, and I'm looking for the people who are speaking on the stages of those events more often than not, because I know that if I do a great job with those guys, there's a good chance that we'll be doing a headshot session soon after, or next time they're ready to do another headshot cycle. And then this year, actually, in particular, I've noticed that delegates of different conferences will see that I'm going to the same conference as them. And because it's a cool venue, a nice location with a great backdrop, they'll say, Laura, let's do a headshot session now. And usually they're from a completely different city. I'm out of town, but we're meeting in a random place to do some fun headshots together.
that's gotta be great.
That's so much fun.
I'd love to flick through some of your your SD cards or whatever after you'd been somewhere like that, and you've got you know, a whole load of speakers on there, and then all of a sudden 15 shots of random bloke.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Yeah, I have my assistant based here in the UK, and if I'm abroad, we have to do a really quite a complicated backup system, because I'm always terrified when I'm going through those x-ray machines, you know, when you put your bags on the x-ray thing in an airport.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always terrified that my cards are going to get somehow scanned and I'm going to lose all my files. So I always have to check into a hotel with good Wi-Fi so that I can back everything up in the night time. And then my assistant's like, Laura, what the hell have you been shooting today? And I'm like, if it's there, I don't care. I'll deal with it when I come home. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. So how did you get to this place of headshot photography? I nearly said headshot photography. Headshot photography.
Yeah, so even though I have a previous life in marketing and public relations, I made all of the mistakes with marketing and public relations when I set out on my own journey as a photographer. I don't know why, I just did. So I worked as an assistant for a few years and then as a principal photographer in two different portraiture studios here in the Northeast after graduating from my photography degree. And I wanted to get some real on the ground experience of how the business side of the photography business works with a view to eventually setting up on my own. But what I didn't realize in the portraiture world is actually there's a lot of very specific photography skills that you need. So you have to know when a baby's able to sit up and hold their head up and all that stuff, and what you need to do to avoid projectile vomit flying at the camera. And then you have to know how you work with dogs, and whatever you do, never photograph cats because they're always a nightmare. And then there's all the wedding stuff that you've got to learn. So I was learning all of that, I suppose, by osmosis and through mistakes a lot of the time. And then I was picking up the marketing side of the portraiture business. And let me tell you, it's a nightmare. So a lot of the, I think Venture are the ones to blame, really. The portraiture model is get them in cheap, give them the world, and then hope that they'll buy something later. That is literally it. So you'll see a lot of people in shopping malls. That was always the Venture trick where you'd say, you know, do you want to come and have a great photo shoot experience with you and the kids for something like, I don't know, £25. They come in, you photograph them for an hour, you know, you kill yourself to make sure that their miserable child's smiling. And then after they leave, you've got to edit all the work, get it all ready into a slideshow, and you've put all of your eggs in the basket of them actually buying something after that whole experience has happened. So you can imagine you've done way more than £25 worth of work. And that's why in a lot of portrait places, you have to rely on that hard sell to try and make your money back.
Yep.
So the business side of it is just not, it just doesn't work. I did that for a while because that was where I had earned my stripes in my own business. And then I remember booking the odd headshot here and there. And I was thinking, well, I don't even know what you're supposed to charge for a headshot. And people were coming into the studio and I'd be like, yeah, well, I don't know. Do you want to just call it 50 quid, I guess? So when it came to headshots photography in my studio, I had no real basis and no what you're supposed to do when people would come in for a headshot. And people would usually be in a grey suit and I'd just pull the grey backdrop down and then go, yeah, right, so do you want to just say 50 quid then? Because I didn't know what was done in the headshot world. Then I had a photo shoot with, it was with Andrew and Pete, and they came in and they were announcing their Atomic community online. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, okay, so I did exactly that. We pulled the grey backdrop down and we did some headshots. And I remember sending over some examples to them. And I got a phone call from Pete. And usually my rule of thumb with those guys is if you get a phone call from Andrew, everything's good. If you get a phone call from Pete, you know there's some kind of constructive feedback going on. So Pete phoned and he was like, yeah, this just really doesn't say anything about our marketing business, Laura. Like, they're great shots. They're in focus. You've lit them well. But that's it. It's just beige from there on in. So I was like, right, okay, come on back in then and we'll have a chat about your brand. And in the back of my brain, all of those old lethargic muscles from my marketing years were probably starting to wake up a little bit. They were like, look, we want to be explosive. This is why we've called it Atomic. You know, let's get something cool happening. I was like, right, shall we just blow you up then? And I actually said it in jest, like I was just kidding. And Pete was like, Laura, that is an amazing idea. Let's do it. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to figure out pyrotechnics now. But we that's what we ended up doing. And if you've ever seen their photo shoot of their on the Tomic, you'll see that I've got some smoke bombs going off behind their heads. And it looks like they've been blown up. We've got makeup all over their faces. And after that photo shoot, I was kind of thinking, okay, hang on a minute. People need great branded photos. I know how to analyze a brand. I know how to look at a marketing plan and get a quick picture of what's going on in a business. Maybe there's something to this whole headshot thing. So one by one, I started phasing out my portraiture, studio-related services. Weddings was the first thing to go because I used to hate shooting weddings. And then one by one, and I started building up this headshots service. And over time, like I was saying before with the personal branding thing, I was talking to the clients who absolutely loved it. And I was like, right, well, what did you like about it? What did you wish there was more of? What could you have done without? And that's where the four services that I've described kind of came from. That it was really like I tried to make it as organic a process as possible. And then we've had the explosion of social media. So we kind of put that into the service as well now, where I'll orchestrate my suppliers, so my makeup artist, my hair people, my stylist, if we've got any other suppliers on set, I'll have them all primed to be doing social media posting on their platforms about the client. And marketing people in particular love this, especially if they have a certain hashtag that they want promoting. But we'll create this online buzz of the photo shoot before it happens, so that by the time we're all doing our Instagram stories on the day, we're getting a lot of people tuning in, and then everyone is waiting in anticipation for the announcement and release of these official headshots. So that's something that's kind of been born out of that, where people are like, oh, I didn't realize you'd be doing an Instagram story of behind the scenes. Can we maximize that? And now we're getting clients coming in now saying, Laura, I'm going to be doing a launch in April, but I want to do a you know, the one that you do with all the social media. And they're making it part of their marketing plan to come and work with us, which is fantastic.
That's a really good idea, that, actually. And, you know, it is true that one of the things that works so well, particularly developing the personal brand, and it's coming back to that element of trust again, is showing people the behind the scenes. You know, what does your desk look like? Where do you sit and do all this stuff? Who else is in the office with you? Who's, you know, how do you do it? And actually, to turn your, because, you know, when I think of a headshot, I certainly think, well, it's the, you know, you don't think about the process of getting the headshot. You think about, all right, well, I'll put it here, I'll put it there. All of a sudden, it becomes a very tactical thing that you're planning to use in the future. But actually, to have that as the experience of doing it as something that you share with your audience as well. I mean, that is a very good idea. I like that. I like that a lot.
Cool. I'm glad you like it.
So just picking up then on a few things that you've just said, because a number of the people that listen to this podcast are either marketing consultants already, and just to reiterate, one of the reasons I set this podcast up for marketing professionals and marketing consultants is because they are the people I hit it off best with when I run my digital agency. So that's exactly where the target audience for this came from. You know, I came up with the target audience while sat at a set of traffic lights. It was that easy.
I love those moments, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So where was I going with this? So just picking up on a few of the things you said, though, because some of the people that listen to this podcast, I know, are marketing professionals that are working in bigger organizations and are almost on the cusp of making that leap to go self-employed and you know, start finding their own clients. But I know what it's like because I've been there. I'm guessing you know what it's like because you've been there as well.
Scary as hell.
It is, isn't it? What you've said as part of your story is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been times where actually, you know what, you've not really known exactly what you're doing here. You know how to take a photograph, but you're not exactly sure how this works. But you muck through it, you figure it out, and then through the experiences and the feedback that you start getting from your early clients, you can then start to shape a bit more of, right, so this is what this offer actually looks like.
100%. Like, I was at a startup event back in May doing some photography, and a lot of the questions that people in the audience were asking of the speakers that I was photographing was like, how do you know it when it's the right time, and when should I, you know, make this announcement? And I think especially if you're in the marketing world, you know that initial launch would It is an important thing, but my advice to anyone is just throw yourself in the deep end, just jump off the ship and you will start swimming. Like, there is a reason why you've started this business. You know that, you know what you know, but at the same time, throw yourself into the water and just start swimming. And if you go with an open mind and you'll take on anyone at the beginning, because that's the whole point, you've got to try and survive. But over time, that's the only place where you can start to really hone your expertise, and you have to kind of live it, and you have to do that bit of like random doggy paddle at the start to think, oh, it's over there. And you can kind of change direction. You think, no, wrong place. Oh, over there. And you have to do that, and everyone has to go through that. And the people who are the most successful out there are the ones who are constantly doing little pivots, but they're staying afloat.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. That's great, Laura. Thanks so much for that. Now, you've mentioned that you've got Selfie School on your website, and I spotted the little pop-up come up when I was on it before.
Hey.
So do you, it's lpearman.com, isn't it? lpearman.com.
No, it's laurapearman.com. You can go in and see a range of my headshot services. But yeah, if you think that Selfie School is the right thing for you, the way that it works is we have a library of content that you can go and help yourself to. And then once in a while, we're still working out the schedule for, as you say, so I'm doggy paddling on this right now. We're working out how frequently I do a pop-up online course, and you can come into a secret Facebook group, and we work intensively for maybe 3 or 5 days on one particular part of phone photography together. I come in and we do regular lives, I give you some online feedback. And then after that, we kind of generate a workbook that goes into the library. So if you feel like you want to be part of a community and you've got some really important questions that you want to ask me, you don't want to do the whole consultancy side, which is a lot more expensive, then you can hang on, join Selfie School, become a Selfie School beautiful, and then I'll let you know next time we're going online with a pop-up course.
Fantastic. And that's all there on laurapearman.com. I've just loaded the site up. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes.
Fantastic.
And we do have the Facebook group, as I mentioned. So Laura, you know, if you want to come and join us in there, and then people can get hold of you, that'd be great.
What's the URL for that?
If you just go to peteeverett.com/group, it'll send you straight on, or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. You can say it. You can tell that I say that quite a lot.
Yeah, I can. It's like me spelling my surname.
That's fantastic. Thanks for your time, Laura. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
So there we go. Episode 16 all wrapped up. Thanks again, Laura, for your time. We really appreciate it. The podcast is going to take a short break for a couple of weeks until the end of August, but we'll still be around in the Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. We'll be back in a few weeks with some cracking new episodes.